Dear Mommy, you're the greatest. You're so pretty and smart, and you cook really good, too. I love it when you cuddle with me, read me stories, and kiss me goodnight. I like that a lot. Jesus gave me the best mommy in the world. I love you so much.
And I didn't realize how much I'd miss you. Thanks for the money. You'd be proud. I got a great deal on a new outfit. I can shop like you, but I definitely can't cook like you. Anyway, I really miss you, Mom. I know raising me hasn't always been easy, and I don't always say it, but I'm so thankful
for you, Mom. I don't know how I'd make it through without you. Just having you to call and listen when I need to vent helps me more than you know. Was life this complicated when I was growing up? I know you had your own struggles, but you always seemed to have a handle on things. That's why I need your grounding, and I thank God for you, Mom. You've shown me so much. I'm in awe of you.
Not a day goes by that I am not grateful for you and for all that you've taught me. Do you realize what a wonderful legacy you have? I see so much of you in the kids and in their kids. And now a whole new generation is being built on the foundation of your incredible love.
How many know that we are so thankful for our moms? How many are glad your mom chose to have you? I didn't ask you if you're glad you chose to have your brother. I said, how many are glad that your mom chose to have you? Yes. You give your mom a hand clap. Let's bless all of our moms today. Moms, before you leave today, make sure you stop by one of the tables here along the sides. You'll see a bouquet of roses, and just stop and grab some of those roses and take them with you today. Matter of fact, all of our ladies today, you're welcome to grab those, whether you're a mother or not. We thank you are God's precious gift. All the guys say amen. Let me say again, ladies, you are a precious gift from God. And all the guys say amen. That's right. One more time, guys, I don't think you hear me. This is the time for you to say, yeah. Guys, listen to me real clear. Ladies, you are a precious gift from God. Amen. There we go. All right, there we go. We're slow. That's right. But you got to love us. So, you know, once in a while we cut the yard and do something really right. But how many are glad that your mom loved you? Are you glad that? Whether it was your birth mother or the woman who raised you or who was influential in your life. You know, there's nothing that seems to break the bond of a lover's love for us. We see the bond of a mother's love. That's a twister right there. The bond of a mother's love for us and a child is such a strong thing today. And I want to talk to you. We're talking today about characters of the Bible. We started a series last week called Characters of the Bible. And we're talking about not only people in the Bible, but characteristics of those people. And today I want to talk to you about the love of Hosea. The love of Hosea. I'm not going to keep you a long time. I'm going to try to go through this because I know many of you who got family things going on this afternoon. But if you'll just give me just a few minutes here, I want to talk to you about the love of Hosea. Let me break it down for you and kind of give you the intro. It says, Hosea, his head was spinning. His heart felt like it was going to beat out of his chest. His worst nightmare had become reality. His wife, the love of his life, had bolted on him. He tried his best, but he could not comfort the kids and to answer their question and powerful questions like, when is mommy coming back and when's mommy coming home? But he didn't know what to say. Yes, he had heard the rumors. He had heard that she had been seen around town with other men, but he didn't know what to believe. That evening, he tried his best to cook the meal for the kids and the family. He tried his best to help the kids with their homework and put them to bed. Finally, as they went to sleep, he walked into his room and he noticed the empty closet. He could still smell the faint of her perfume. He asked, "Why me, God? Why me? What have I done to deserve this?" The prophet Hosea had a beautiful wife. And we know that she must have been beautiful because her name was Gomer. She must have been really gorgeous if you're going to love a wife named Gomer. You know, ladies, that's just don't name your daughter Gomer. Just a little mother 101 today. Just that's just not a good name to name your daughter, okay? Shazam, you know. But his wife's name was Gomer. And she was a very attractive lady. And we see the story where she walks out on the prophet Hosea. And it's just an awesome love story because it's a love story that God set up to say, this is my love for the church. I'm going to talk to you about the church, Hosea. I'm going to teach you a lesson about my love for the church through your wife. And Hosea, we see where one day he comes home and his wife says, "Hey, man, I'm bolting. I'm leaving. Your history." She was going to leave him. Let's look at Hosea 2:5, and this is what she said to Hosea. His wife said this to him. For she said, "I will go after my lovers." Notice what it says, lovers, okay? She didn't say the other man. She didn't say after my lover. She said lovers, implying there's many. "I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink." Basically what you're looking at is a woman who was out to get what she could. She traded sex for material things. And so here he is, married to this beautiful woman, and she comes home one day and says, "Listen, I'm going to leave you. I'm going after the many men who want to take care of me. They give me nice, expensive things. They meet my needs and your history, dude." I mean, imagine the shock of your wife coming in and saying, "I'm not just going to leave you, but I'm leaving you for my many lovers. I got guys out here, they'll give me the car I want. I got guys, another guy, he's going to give me the money I want. And your history, buddy, you and the kids, adios, see ya. I'm out of here." This is what happened to Hosea. As we look at this today, I'm thinking of, you know, that many of us run from things in our life. And she was running from Hosea. Gomer was running from Hosea. She was running from her commitment to her marriage. And she was just trying to run from her commitment she had made to God, to Hosea. You know, how many like watching the cop shows? Anybody like watching cop shows? Is it just me? Or does somebody else like watching reality TV when it comes to the cop shows? Carl, you like watching those cop shows? You lived it all your life. He's like, nobody. Carl worked at LAPD, undercover narcotics. So my only regret is, Carl, they didn't come out of that program in time for you to be on there because you'd have been a great character for that program. I guarantee you that. But I love watching these programs. And what I like watching, we have satellite TV and we have a station out in L.A. And you can never, almost every evening at some point, you can turn on that station and you'll see a cop chase live. They break in live cop chase. And, you know, this cracks me up. These guys think they can actually outrun the cops. You know, the cops are on them. And they think they can outrun the cops. And so we have a live helicopter shot of a helicopter pursuing and cars pursuing. And they're trying to outrun cops. And they're going up and down the highway. They cut through neighborhoods. They're bolting right and left and trying to hop fences. You know, even the cops will pull back a little bit. But what happens? They have a helicopter with a big spotlight following the person. So no matter where he goes, he runs over here, tries to hide. The helicopter's hovering over him, the spotlight. It's right on him, you know. And these guys actually think they can run and hide from the cops with a helicopter spotlight on them and police cars surrounding them. They think they can get away. You know, like, I can do it. I'm fast. And I say this, they never get away, do they? They never get away. They may run for a while, but they never can outlast. They can never outgun and get away from these highly skilled cops who have a helicopter, okay? Especially the ones that have a helicopter because they are up in the sky. They just can't hide from that. And but so finally, though, they'll give up. Their tires will be slashed, and they'll hop over a fence. They're hiding somewhere, but the spotlight will be on them. They get busted, you know, and they just, you can't outrun them. And the same thing happens to us spiritually, that many of us in our life, we think we can outrun God. We think we can outrun God. We think that we can just bolt on God and do our own thing in our life. And you know what? I'll go here and do my own thing here and there. And we'll bolt and we'll try to do our own thing. And we'll run as far as we can, as hard as we can, thinking we are running from God. We're so independent. We're so postmodern that we can do things on our own. We don't need a relationship with Jesus. We don't need a relationship with God, but we can do our own thing. We're our own person, and we'll try our hardest to run away from God. This is what Gomer is doing. She's running from Hosea and the family. She's going after her own desires. She's leaving him and taking off. And we do God the same way. We run from him. We leave him in our life. But I'm telling you that God is in pursuit of who you are. That even though you think you're running from God, that you can never outrun God. Let me say it again. You can never outrun God. That God is in pursuit of you. And today you may think that God is far away, but I say that you have never left his eye. That you have never left his love. That you are the object of his affection. That you are the apple of his eye. And even though maybe you spit in his face, and even though maybe you say, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God, today he still is following after you. And you're like the people who are on cops, man. You're trying to get away. You're trying to jolt and hide and do your own thing, but you can never outrun the grace and mercy of God. I believe this story gives us three things. It gives us three things that talks about that we get when someone runs from God. Three things when someone runs from God we see in the story. First thing that happens, what does God do? God creates barricades. He barricades us with briars. I'll explain that more as we read the scripture. He says he barricades us with briars. How many know what briars are? We have any guys who've ever, or ladies ever caught up in briar bush somewhere? That's a painful thing, isn't it? That's not a nice thing. I used to go hunting with my dad growing up. We'd go rabbit hunting. And, you know, they always wanted to send me in after to kill the dead rabbits. And they kill the rabbit, and they send me in to get the rabbit. Now, some of you are looking at me already like, Pastor, are you an animal lover? Yes, I love animals. I just like some of mine deep fried, but still, yeah, I love animals, okay? Don't worry, we ate what we killed, okay? But they would send me in. I remember being 12, about 12 years old, going into these briar patches and trying to get out this rabbit. If you ever try to get a rabbit out of a briar patch, it doesn't happen. You pull the thing up and it gets caught. This fur gets caught up in the briar. So then you try to pull it out and then you get caught in there. And then pretty soon, you know, you come and help. Somebody's going to come and help cut you out. I wasn't strong enough. I remember my dad having to come and pull me out of the briar patch because I just couldn't get past those briar patches. And the only way out is the way you came in. I mean, you just almost, when you get to a briar patch, you can't go forward. You just got to kind of turn around and try your best to go back out the same way you came in and hope you get out without getting stuck. And you better hope you have some thick coveralls on because otherwise you're going to be ate up, man. You're going to have blood running down your legs and arms all scratched up. I've learned that the hard way. Don't go after your golf ball in the briar patch, okay? Just a note for you golfers. Not that I've ever done that, but I've heard guys who have. And we see in Scripture, look what God told the Hosea. He was talking about Gomer. He said, therefore, behold, I will hedge up her way with thorns. I will hedge up her way with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her path. She will pursue her lovers, verse 7 says. She will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. She will seek them, but will not be able to find them. What is happening here? He's saying, Hosea, it's all right, because she's going to go after her. She's going to run from God. She's going to run from you, but I'm going to put a hedge around her. I'm going to put this hedge around her, and even though she thinks she's running from me, she's not going to get anywhere. That's what he was saying. Hosea, she's running from you and the family. Don't worry. I'm putting this hedge of briars around her, thorns around her. She's not going anywhere. She thinks she's going somewhere, but she ain't going nowhere. It's kind of like many of us. We think we're running from God. We think we're getting somewhere, but in all reality, we're not going anywhere. God still sees us. God still sees us, and he'll put up briar patches and things that cause us pain to keep us exactly where he wants us. He'll do things, protection. You don't even know that his hand is there keeping you out of the place you need to be. His hand is there stopping you from doing this that you didn't even know about because his love for you is so great. Oh, you think you're running. You think you're gaining ground. But he looks at you and says, hey, I've got you all along right here. He's keeping you right there. He's directing you. Those who run from you, he says, he will pursue other interests, other lovers. He says, but they're not going to overtake them. She will seek them, but will not find them. We see here where some time has melted off the clock, and Gomer, who used to be this beautiful woman of the night that many men wanted and paid for, begins to age. The guys who used to show up in the stretch chariots you know, with the chrome on. You don't talk about spinners on the wheels and everything. The guys just pull up, you know, and really party. Spend the money on her now. She's lucky to hitch a ride on the back of a mule. She finds herself that used to make top dollar, and now she's just trying to scrap to make it. Now she's having to just hope she makes enough to pay her next meal. Age is defining her. Her hard lifestyle is wearing on her body, and she's looking older than what she really is. Botox doesn't help. I mean, she's really aging here, and just really, you can see the hard lifestyle has really aged her body and the way she looks. And this is what happens. Look what God says to Hosea. He says, Hosea, I want you to find Gomer, and I want you to give her a bunch of money. That's what he says. He says, Hosea, I want you to find her, and I want you to give her a bunch of money, and I want you to give her some groceries. God says, she's desolate right now. She's in broke. She doesn't have anything to eat. He goes, I want you to find her, and I want you to find the guy who owns her. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go to her boyfriend, the guy she's living with now, and I want you to take him some money and take him some groceries and give it to her. And so Hosea's like, what, God? But, you know, all right, God, I'll be obedient to you. So Hosea goes to his wife who had walked down on him and the kids, who said, I'm leaving you for the riches of the world. I'm going to leave you for my many lovers. Now that she's spent her life with all these other men, all these other lovers, never once coming back to apologize, never once checking on Hosea and the kids. God says, hey, Hosea, I want you to go to her, and I want you to give her some money, and I want you to take her some groceries, and I want you to give them to this man and tell her this is for her. We see where he's like, all right. It will show her, God says, it will show her that you love her unconditionally and irrationally. So Hosea, being a prophet, God said, I'll do it. So he tracks Gomer down. He finds out where she's at. And so Gomer goes to her lover, and he says, hey, this is for, I mean, Hosea goes to Gomer's lover and says, hey, this is for Gomer. Can you give her this money? Can you give her these groceries? And let her know I'm still thinking about her. And, of course, we see what happens here. That he blesses them with things, and he takes it to her, and the lover doesn't give credit to Hosea. The lover's like, here you go, this is from me. He takes credit. It's kind of like that Seinfeld episode, you know, he takes credit for the big salad. This is what happens, you know. Here Hosea is. He gets the nerve to take up some money and take, you know, the food over to her after all this that she's done to him, and then he doesn't even get credit for it. I mean, how many know that's a big burnout right there? I mean, you're going to do God's work, and you're going to forgive somebody, and you're going to go show them love. You at least want credit for it. And so we see where he doesn't even get credit for it, that Gomer's present lover is like, here, baby, I'm still thinking about you. And so we see where Hosea stands at a distance and knows that he's not getting credit for it, but he did what God asked him to do. Now look what verse 8 says. For she does not know that it was I who gave her the grain. This is Hosea talking. For she does not know it was I that gave her the grain, the new wine, the oil. It lavished her on her, the silver and gold. You see, there's something that happens. See, God is using Hosea represents what God looks at us. And we represent Gomer. We represent the woman who runs from her husband. And sometimes God comes to us and he blesses us with things. And he takes care of us and he provides for us. And we don't even realize it's God. We don't even acknowledge that it's God. My financial blessing is because I worked hard for it. My athletic ability is because I trained hard. The person God sent in my life is because I'm good looking. We take credit for everything. We'll take credit for the many blessings that God gives us, never stopping to acknowledge that God had his hand in our life. That God had blessed. It was God who gave it to us. It was God who provided for us. It was God who blessed us with the promotion. It was God who helped us get the job. It was God who sustained us in our tough time. It was God. We don't even give God credit. I just luck. Or I worked hard on my own ability and I made it happen. No, sir. No, ma'am. It was God. It was by the grace of God that he helped you. And we don't even, many times, especially when you're running from God, you don't even acknowledge what God is doing in our life. This is what Gomer did. She didn't acknowledge it. God had placed fences around our lives. He had placed guardrails to try to direct us. And he places these barriers to keep us in line. The second thing he does is he removes our resources. When you're running from God, not only does he put up barriers in your way to keep you where you don't even know where you're going, to stop you from going places you don't need to go, he'll also at times he'll remove your resources because you fail to know that it's him that's helping you. You fail to realize it is God who has blessed your life. We fail to acknowledge it is God that's the reason why I'm here. And so he'll remove our resources from us. So Gomer was in serious trouble. She was in serious debt. She had all these miles on her. She's racking up all this credit, and she can't pay it back because she's not making the top dollar she used to. So now she's starving. She's got creditors coming her way. God had removed from her ability to make money. And so she does, look what it says here in Hosea 2:9. Therefore, I will take back my grain at the harvest time and my new wine in the season. I also will take away my wool, my flax given to cover her nakedness. God removed his hand from her of material things. He took away the things that she thought was a blessing from somebody else, but really God had been blessing her. So God says, all right, you want to play this game of running from me? I'm going to pull my resources from you. When you go to harvest, it's going to be bare. You want this wine? Nah, the wine's not going to be there for you. He begins to pull away the things that she needs to make it. Why is this? Because God is continually pursuing her. And she thinks she can outrun God. She thinks she can outrun Hosea. See, we think we can outrun God, don't we? God, I don't need you. God, I'll do my own thing. God, I'll do whatever, but you know what? I can make without you. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. It may last for a season, but when you don't acknowledge it was coming from God, when you run from God, God at some point will pull his hand from you. And you'll say, what happened? Where did it all go? What all happened in my life? What happened here? We see where God says this. He says, I'm going to pull back my hand from her. I'm going to cover up her nakedness. People are going to see her for the woman she really is. The Bible says she was suffering. She was broke. She was busted. She was disgusted. This is the life of Gomer. Kind of reminds me of the life of Jonah. Jonah ran from God. God asked him to go to the city of Nineveh. And God set up a barrier, set up a storm when he ran the opposite way. And of course, we know he got thrown overboard and the belly of a whale swallowed him up. He got swallowed up. And I think that's pretty good about man losing his resources. What do you think? We see him in the belly of the whale crying out to God, God, where are you? God has a plan. If it takes sin and a storm in your life, if it takes you being thrown overboard and being swallowed up where you had nothing but sitting in a disgusting belly of a whale somewhere, God loves you that much because you cannot outrun God. But his love for you is that great that he will never let you get away. He is continually pursuing you. We see this theme throughout Scripture where he barricades us with his briars and he removes our resources to get our attention. We see that in the story of the prodigal son. That's where Gomer found herself. And you know what? If we're honest here, we've all gone Gomer at some point in our life. Turn to your neighbor and say, golly. Yeah. We've all gone Gomer at some point in our life. We've all ran from God at different areas in our life. We've all run from him, and we try to pursue our own thing. But if we do that, we can never outrun God. So what happens here at the last? We see this happening here as we get ready to close. We see where Gomer found herself. She had nothing. She had nothing. So she comes up with this idea, you know what? I think I will sell myself in a slave auction. This is the only way I can make it. The only way I'm going to live is I sell myself as a slave. And so she goes up and places herself on the slave market. What a place she ended up. From living a life of riches, the life that she pursued for herself, and now she's on the slave market, willing to sell herself off to be a slave just to survive. And look what God does here in Hosea 3:1. Then the Lord said to me, this is Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, go and get your wife. Bring her back to you and love her, even though she loves adultery. First of all, that's another story in itself, the obedience of Hosea. But we know that Hosea is representing God here, okay? And Gomer is representing us. And if Gomer had forsaken Hosea and the family, had blown everything she had, had lived as a prostitute, her body's aged, she has nothing. Now she says, you know what, all that I can do to make it is to sell myself as a slave. And if you have studied, there's so much about the slave market in those days and what they had to go through. We can read and find out what she actually had to do. What a humbling and humiliating experience when she had to go up there to be chained naked in front of the whole people who were bidding to show her body and see what kind of shape she was in. And can you imagine her disrobing and going up there and standing in front and people laughing, thinking, boy, she used to have it, but she don't got it no more. Guy's thinking, you know what, there come a day I'd have paid a lot for that, but I wouldn't give you $10 for that now. I mean, all this thoughts going out and all these things happening as Gomer goes up to sell herself as a slave. And Hosea kind of makes his way to the back, and he sees that woman who walked out on him and the family, the one who said, I'm going to pursue my other lovers. See ya. And God says, I want you to go back, and I want you to buy her. And so she's standing up there naked, stripped of everything, pursued, running from God, running from her family. They start debating off. Some guy says, I'll give you $5. And there's a hand in the back that stretches up and says, I'll give you $6. And someone else says, I'll give you $7. And the same hand stretches up again. I'll give you $8. And she begins to hear that voice, and she recognizes that voice of Hosea, her long-lost husband. And I can imagine as every time he bids and someone else bids 10, and he goes, I'll give 11. Their mind thinks, God, he's going to buy me, and he's going to kill me. He's going to take his revenge on me. He's going to buy me, and he's going to take me back, and he's going to pay for all the harm I did to the family. Because under law, he could do what he wanted when he bought her as a slave. He could have took her home and killed her and said she was a bad slave and been all right because he owned her. So can you imagine Gomer's mind when every time she hears Hosea raising his hand, I'll give 13. Someone else says, I'll give 20. He says, I'll give 21. And finally, nobody else bids, and sold to the man in the back, and everybody looking back knowing that it was Hosea. The crowd parts, and Hosea walks to the front. And you imagine Gomer standing there naked, humiliated, looking up in fear. And you imagine Hosea coming up, taking off his robe, his jacket, covering up Gomer. He says, get up, honey. Let's go home. Covers up her nakedness. But what are you going to do with me? Honey, just come home. I love you and I forgive you. Which brings us to our last point. When you run from God, what does God do? He grips us with his grace. See, many of us, we've ran from God in our life, and we found ourselves running from him. And we look so ashamed because we've ran part of our life from God, and we think, God doesn't want me now. I've turned my back on God. God could never love me now. If he could just see me for the person I really am, for the things I've done in my life, he wouldn't want me now. I'm up here, I'm naked spiritually. I'm a wreck. If you could really see me, Pastor, inside my heart, you would see the person I've become. There's no way God would want me. There's no way God would want me. And there's a bid for your life going on right now. There's addiction say, I'll give $5. There's sin that says, I'll give $6. There's rejection that says, I'll give $7. There's abuse that says, I'll give $8. But I'm here to tell you today that there's a lover for you. His name is Jesus. And he raises his hands in the back. He says, I'll give my life. As he raises his hands in the back, you see a pierced hand. He says, I'll give my life for her. I've already bought her. I've already bought him. I got it right here. I paid the price with my life. And as you see the nail scars come your way, he comes and he clothes you with your nakedness. He says, just come home. Just come home. That's the love of our Father. One of the greatest love stories ever told. He says, this is the way, Hosea, that you have loved Gomer. This is the way the church has treated me, and this is the way I love the church. That I paid my price for them. I have clothed them with their nakedness. I give them my righteousness. I give them my grace. You can never outrun God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, boy, that just so relates to me as you're talking about running from God in our life and feeling like I have nothing to give God. Today, with every head bowed, no one's looking but me right here. You say, Pastor, that's me. Today, I need to accept Jesus Christ. I need to quit running from him, and I need to come and say, Jesus, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. No one's looking but me, but can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. I want to make him Lord of my life. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. Just raise, no one's looking but me. Just say, I want to accept Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running from God. No longer do I want to run from him, but today I want to run to him. Anybody else here today? No one's looking up at me. You say, that's me. I want to make sure you have that chance today. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thanks. Somebody else here today, I know the Spirit's speaking to you and you need to be honest with yourself. Can you be honest? If that's you today, can you raise your hand? Today, I'm going to ask you to do this thing right here with me. If you raise your hand today, or if you're already a Christian, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you my life. I want to stop running from you. And now I want to run to you. Be Lord of my life. I accept you. I accept your love. I will live for you.
I will live for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, this is the beginning spot for you. We rejoice with you. Can we just give him a hand clap? Yeah, what an awesome thing today. We rejoice with you today in the decision you made to accept Jesus Christ. And I say it's just a starting point, okay? This is not the ending point. It's a starting point where you start a new life, where you say, you know what? I'm going to begin to pursue after God. And you need to get plugged into a church family. If you don't have a church home somewhere, you're welcome to come here. Tell the person who brought you, who invited you, I want to come. I want to get involved with people. I want to make friends with other people who can help support me and train me. And you need to be involved in a church family, okay? Make sure you begin to pursue after the things of Christ. If you raised your hand today and accepted Jesus Christ, we have some salvation package for you in the very back today. As you leave today, you'll be able to go back there. We have a free Bible and some other things we want to give you. Just go to the very back. We'll have those for you today. It's our gift to you. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. We're going to close with this song right here. It talks about the love of a Savior. How many know, man, what an awesome love story as it translates to us. I'm going to ask Stephanie to sing a song all for love. I want you to sing this morning. I want you to imagine the price of Jesus and the love that he showed us. Go ahead, Stephanie.
And all for love the Father gave. For only love could make a way. And all for love the heavens cried. love was crucified. Oh, how many times have I broken your heart? But still you forgive, if only I ask. And how many times have you heard me pray? Draw near to me.
Everything I need.
Father, we love you today, Lord. We know that you love us so much, Lord. It's a story so illustrates to us, God, how much you value us. You sent Hosea to show unconditional love, and you told Hosea that this is the way you love us. The way that he loved his wife, Gomer, even through her transition, even through her transgressions, even through her sin, her rejection, her run from his family. That God, Hosea loved her, and he bought her back, and he clothed her, and he forgave her, and he restored her back into the family. That God, that's the way you see us. That's the way you love us. And Father, this Mother's Day, may we never forget how much you love us. And when it seems like nobody else loves this guy, we know that you love us unconditionally. And you restore us back if we run to you and come back to you. Because we can never outrun you, your love, and your mercy. We thank you today. We say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you today. Before you leave, we say have a great Mother's Day. Spend time with your family. Shake some hands today. Hug a few necks. You guys have a great week. God bless you.